This is Rob Stone from Fox Sports. You are listening to the Unused Substitute. Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Hey Dan, how's it going?
I'm all right. I think it's a two. It's we're back on Tuesday, so that's good. Schedule.
We actually kept everything going for once to stay on our normal date and time. I will preface this by saying there is a thunderstorm like just hanging over my house right now. So if everything dies, I don't know. Talk good about me, I guess. But that'll end the show till I get everything fired back up again. But I think it's clearing over right now. So before we even get into the whole show thing, we kind of, you know, we have a habit of putting together things for the show sometimes that we haven't done before, kind of on a last minute basis. Like we kind of put this together today. We've had guests before. We've had, you know, Thomas Rongen was on, for quite a while last year. We've had, players and staff on. We had the guys from Cosmos Country on before. Anyway, oh, that time Dave from Empire Soccer called in, like Jake's called in a couple times. We've had some guests before, but they've always been kind of like rowdies or league or something related. We've got a totally outside of our normal, I don't know, we're going outside our lane a little bit here. We've got a special guest tonight.
We do. I'm excited.
I know. And she's here. We're going to just kick off the show with her because the rest of the show is us complaining about yet another loss. But we've got, you know, if you're on social media, if you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and you like soccer and you like social media and really
tacos,
this person should be familiar to you. We've got the one and the only Sonia Kondratenko on the line. Sonia, did I say that right?
Close enough.
Okay. In my day job, I'm a middle school teacher. Just gone back. I'm still remembering my kid's name, so that's my habit now. Every time I say a name, I said, "Did I say that right?"
I don't even know if I say it right half the time because I say it so much that I kind of just like slur it all together, you know. So I got lazy.
You just kind of fake it, and you sound confident, and people go, yeah. "Okay, that's what it is." How you
that's
doing?
I'm very well, actually. I'm feeling the love from the internet today, so.
Yeah, you were lately. Well, we've all chatted back and forth on like Twitter and Snapchat and other places, but we've never actually talked to you in person. So, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, anytime. And I know we've got some mutual friends. I know you know the guys from Cosmos Country, right?
Yes, I love them so much. They're some of my favorite like New York soccer people.
They, we'll usually talk to them. And then actually Louis came down here a couple weeks ago for a game. And so we all got to hang out for once.
I'm very jealous. And I used to, like, I know you guys probably don't believe me. I used to spend a lot of time in Florida, but since I moved to New York, I haven't been to Florida at all. I promise that I'm going to come one day.
we're hanging on to, we got that Freddie Adu jersey just waiting for you.
Oh, I still, you know, I'm still keeping the Freddie Adu DC United jersey alive up here.
And then you know Dave from Empire Soccer too, right?
Love Dave. He's like my surrogate soccer dad.
Nice. Well, we've never met him and we never really talked to him like in person before, but one night We have a guy that writes stuff for our website. And actually, he's up in Brooklyn, too. His name is Jake Nutting. I don't know if you know Jake.
I don't think I know Jake. I need to meet Jake.
Yeah, he does like the NASL beat for Empire Soccer, but he's originally from down here and he's a Rowdies fan. So he also writes stuff for our website because he writes better than anything we could do to begin with. So, so he's up.
I feel you.
All right. So, we'll hop into it. What's your big news? You've been at Kick for a while, you know, when it was Kick TV and then Kick, and now you're heading elsewhere.
Yeah, I am sadly ditching American soccer for the time being, and I'm heading to Venice to go do social and strategy over at Venezia Football Club.
Very cool. Dan and I were talking before we came on, and then like, I don't know, we're kind of in a leading little sheltered existence down here when it comes to most stuff outside of the U.S. But what's going on with them? Where are they Serie A?
No, not yet. At least we are. Third division, just got promoted last season, so back climbing our way back up. The club spent most of its history in Serie A and Serie B, and sadly, you know, went bankrupt and kind of went through a whole bunch of relegation. So the idea is that we're going to climb the ranks back up. We'd be in the top tier of Italian soccer.
All right. Well, if soccer Twitter is any indication, I'm sure they'll have a lot more people paying attention.
It is really, really hard for me to leave American soccer because that's what I grew up on. Like, my dad played professional indoor, you know. I grew up watching a lot of indoor soccer and having DC United being one of the founding MLS teams and lovely RFK being a huge part of my soccer existence and foundation for my love of the game. You know, it's like it's really hard and very crazy to think about leaving it, but I'm sure I'll be back.
Okay, so that was going to kind of lead into my next thing. Like, I was going to ask how you got into soccer in the first place, because it seems like, you know, there's so many people getting into soccer these days. Everyone's kind of got a different story. So you came in from a background of your dad played indoor, and you just kind of grew up around it then.
Yeah, no, my dad's family's from Ukraine, so they didn't really care for American football or like baseball, really. You know, soccer was it in my household. Right. Unfortunately, I was not very athletic. I was artistic, and I went to an art high school followed by an art college. I spent like 8 years of my life in the dark room. I mean, my college didn't even have a sports team, like, at all. We didn't have anything. So like, even the idea of sports were uncool. Then now I find myself like back in the soccer industry, or the having soccer as a huge part of my life, just in a totally different way, and a way I never really envisioned. Like, I didn't think it was possible. You know, I was going to school to like learn how to take photos and make art, and I never really thought about applying it to sports.
Okay, and then I don't know. You're like reading my mind tonight, because that was going to go into.
Oh my gosh! Well, I'm sorry. I'll let you ask me some questions.
No, because I have the hardest time figuring out how to set up things. Like I said, I'm a history teacher. I don't know what I'm doing half the time with the microphone. But you know, like, the social media thing with soccer has really gotten huge in the last couple of years, and it probably starts off, I'm guessing, with clubs or leagues or whatever saying, hey, we know a guy who's, you know, uses Twitter a lot. Let's put him in charge of it. And now it's become kind of like a full blown professional thing. So how did you get into that side of?
Oh, man. So I left school kind of not really knowing what I wanted to do with my life. And I went off. I had my own like crazy eBay business for a while, and I toured with bands for a bit. And then doing like some kind of freelance social media photography stuff. I was totally into the social media food world. So my Instagram was entirely like food I was eating, food I traveled, or I ate while I was traveling, food I made. Like, it was all food. You never saw a photo of me. It was just all food all the time. And I started getting gigs. Like, I was working with Whole Foods, making social media content, local businesses, restaurants, whatever, doing that. And I was going to soccer games, but I really wouldn't post a photo. And when I did, like, it got no likes. It would maybe get like a tenth of what I would get on a food photo. And I got kind of discouraged. I was like, whatever. Nobody cares about my soccer stuff. Then I went over to Portland, and then I went over to Europe, and I was exposed to all these really crazy soccer environments. And I came back from those trips like, damn, I have to make this a bigger part of my life. Like, I want to do this for a job. And I just would go to games and make content and kind of like faked it, you know, like took it super seriously, like would go and just take pictures and post them. And I started slowly gaining a soccer following and very quickly losing my food followers. But I just kept at it. And then I actually got a gig doing social media for our local PDL team in Baltimore, the Baltimore Bohemians. They trusted me enough to, come hang out and take over their handles for a season. So I did that and traveled around, like, I'm talking way days all over the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast, which was a lot of fun and got me really involved in like a super DIY grassroots soccer environment. And then I hopped over, I got noticed because at the same time I was doing stuff with Bose, I was doing a lot of personal trips and just trying to go. We're very lucky up here in the Northeast. Like I can go to New York in 3 hours from Baltimore. So I'd go up if there was an event, crash in my uncle's apartment, crash with a friend, whatever, just like go make content. I got noticed by Howler magazine and started doing social media at Howler. And that was like my first big platform. And it was super exciting. And I had like, I finally had like a crew, you know, I had a soccer crew I could run with. And then I made the jump to Kick last summer. And I called New York home and I just really kind of fell into doing social media for soccer as a full-time gig. Like I wanted it to happen. I didn't never know it would happen so quickly, but it was like one thing led to another, you know, I would go to an event and meet somebody that would lead me to meet somebody else that maybe wouldn't wanted to hire me to like go to a game or do something freelance for them. And it was really exciting.
Very cool. I was going to say, I've got one of those Baltimore Bohemian scarves. I came up there a couple years ago when Liverpool played. They played the first game at Fenway.
And
At M&T, a weekend later or a couple days later, whatever it was. And I had some friends from college were from Baltimore, and I live down in Southwest Florida. The Orioles have spring training like 10 minutes from my house. So I've got some friends up there, and I spent some time there and you know, had a couple cans of Natty Bow and everything.
Of course.
Saw the guy on the scarf, and I was like, oh, I got to have this. Like I got a friend that lives up there still that I went to college with, and every time he's coming down, I'm like, you got to bring me some because you can't get it down here. Sometimes they'll have stuff for the local teams for spring training. Like we have Pittsburgh in town too. They bring all the Pittsburgh stuff, but Baltimore doesn't do a whole lot with it. But
no, the last time I was in Florida, actually, I went to Orlando City's home opener and I hopped over to Orioles spring training. I had never been to spring training ever in my life. And it was really great. My grandparents took me and it was like the whole Baltimore transplant crew. And they were, you know, they were maybe getting a little wasted, having a good old time. It was St. Patrick's Day. I got super sunburnt. It was good. It was a good time.
Nice. I actually probably had a Pittsburgh game because St. Patrick's Day is the day before my birthday, and I always end up going to one of the Pittsburgh games, spring training. But yeah, that stadium down there is like my daughter used to do ballet at the little studio next door, and there's a brewery across the street I hang out at and everything. Yeah, that's a nice place. When I was up there for the Liverpool game, I had a friend of mine used to work for was it T. Rowe Price, I think, is in Baltimore.
Oh yeah.
And but he grew up down here in Sarasota, so he was in town and gave me their corporate seats. I was sitting like three rows behind home plate. I could talk to the guy in the visitors dugout, so I was, you know, chatting with them for a little bit, and that was pretty cool. I had a good time at that game. I grew up as an Orioles fan, even though I grew up in like West Palm and there was no real reason. I was a big Cal Ripken guy.
Of course,
autographs I have is a Cal Ripken baseball sitting on my desk. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So you talked about how you started off with the food accounts and that's probably where the tacos come in, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah. No. So there are like a couple foods that really do it for me. Like I get such joy out of photographing them. Ice cream cones. I'm not the huge, like I like donuts. I'm very picky about donuts because I think there's a lot of subpar donuts around, but like donuts are really nice. And I have a theory of like why they're nice and why I like to photograph them and why people like them. And also they're very small, well, like cheap donuts, small, like cheap donuts are a good return on your investment. You know, you can get like two for a dollar and then you can make a good piece of content and watch the likes roll in. And actually, I have, that leads me into a quick story. Like, I would drive around Florida, like from Fort Myers to Orlando or wherever, and I would hit like these old vintage donut shops and like just take pictures of, like, I would just stop to use the bathroom, but then also get donuts to take pictures of. So when I think of Florida, I think of donuts.
Nice. Well, there's a place in the corner from my house, and I guarantee you didn't go there because they don't have any bathrooms. little Vietnamese couple, and they get up at like 4 a.m. and make donuts all day long, and they're fantastic.
Oh man, I love that. Yeah, I'm not really all about like the chain donut life. I would like to find the independent places. So donuts and like ice cream cones are up there as far as photographs. But tacos do it for me. Like nothing else does it for me. And I just love them. My obsession has maybe been amplified a little bit. Like, yes, I do eat other food, I promise. But if I'm going to visit a stadium, like I went to Philadelphia Union Stadium a couple weeks ago, and I've been there, I don't know, 20 times, and I never realized they had tacos in the stadium. So it's like, I have to get the tacos. Sometimes they have tacos in the press box. And then it's like, I gotta just go hard on the taco content when I have it.
Nice. Yeah, we don't have tacos in the stadium, but there are two of, according to USA Today, two of like the top 50 whatever taco places in the country within walking distance. So if you ever
that's acceptable. Yeah,
we've got some places to take you. And you were saying how you started out with just the food stuff, and you went to games, and you didn't no pictures of yourself. But as you've gone on and kind of done this kind of full time, now you're getting into the Snapchat and everything else. God, I sound really old when I say the Snapchat.
Look, Snapchat makes me feel old.
I won't even tell you. That'll make you feel young again. But so what's it like? I mean, because, we're on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and everything like that. And we do stuff like videos at games and whatever. And I kind of like how weird is it to give people like that much of an insight to your life?
I mean, I leave out a lot of stuff. And even though sometimes it doesn't seem like I am pretty open about sharing things. As you can imagine, I've been trying to keep my big move to Venice a secret. So like I moved out of my apartment. First I moved all my furniture out. And then I was like, damn, I can't snap from my bedroom because I'm sleeping on the floor. Like people are going to know I just got all of this furniture and now it's gone. Like, I was so excited about it. So that was really hard because I was just like, I had to restrict myself a bit. And it's funny how much people pay attention to things I do. Like, I think in March, maybe there was like 2 straight weeks where every day I came home and I just drank out of an orange juice container right from the fridge. And people still come up to me and like, you love orange juice. And like, do I? I mean, I do, but it's just really interesting what the themes that people pick up on and remember. I don't really mind sharing, but there are like, I do have bad days. I promise. I'm not always like, there are days I don't shower and like, I'm not put together and I'm a complete train wreck. I do a good job at hiding it. But I think that one thing I'm going to do with this move to Italy is I'm going to try and start vlogging and do a little bit more of just like documenting my journey outside of social media so that it can kind of live somewhere more permanently.
That's cool. I was just kind of wondering, like, there's all these different like sections of, they call it soccer Twitter. And then there's like the pro rel guys and then there's the anti MLS guys. And then I can imagine, like, I keep track of the rowdies mentions just so I can kind of subversively advertise by liking people's comments and putting our name out there. And I can just imagine some of the feedback you get sometimes.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Like working for a media company for the last year, where it's like we work with all teams and all brands and everything, and having access to stuff and posting that stuff on my own social media, like I'm at this game, I'm at that game, hey, like I got a t-shirt from here, I got a t-shirt from there. I get so much crap for being like a fair weather fan, and just like, and the back and the forth, and it's whatever. Like I don't let it bother me, but it's just interesting. Just because you post one thing on social media one time doesn't mean that you're tied to that forever. Just because I was seen in, one kit from one team doesn't mean that I can't wear another kit from another team. Because the only thing I'm really trying to do is promote the game as a whole, especially in North America. Like, that is one of my biggest passions, is just, like, people in North America getting into soccer. That's you know, that's a big part of what I've been working on for the last year and a half.
But deep down inside, you're a Shakhtar fan, right?
Well, so then my family is also not going to be happy about this. my family team is Dnipro. So for a while I got really superstitious and I have a Shakhtar shirt. Like, I would only fly in the Shakhtar shirt, like, every single time I got on a plane, and it's bright orange and it's so obnoxious. I do like them. It's tough for me because I will kind of morph a little bit when, especially when Ukrainian teams are in Champions League or Europa League, and I'm just like, yeah. Like, I am like, go Ukrainian soccer, woohoo. My family-wise, my allegiance is Dnipro, but you will catch me. Now, this sounds horrible, but like, Shakhtar, man, they got me through a lot of, you know, anxiety-ridden flights.
Yeah, I was gonna say you've been all over the place lately. You've been to England. You've been to all over the U.S. And what's the best? You went over to Liverpool. I remember we talked about that.
Liverpool on 4th of July. I mean, the stadium was gated. I couldn't get in till we were there so late. But I finally made it to Liverpool, and that was pretty awesome. Nice. I'm a sucker for, like, especially in Europe, these stadiums that are just so built into the neighborhood. Here we're used to, like, something being completely isolated by a parking lot, you know, and
right.
That's it. There's nothing around. I was at South London Derby the beginning of January, and it's like Selhurst Park is just like, it's just plopped in the middle of a bunch of little tiny houses, like row houses. Like, you live across the street from a stadium. Here we don't really get that. You know, I was at Leicester 3 times, I think. Three games. I spent maybe about close to 2 weeks there or so over the course of last season. And, like, the atmosphere there was insane. And being able to go back and see the progression throughout the years. Like, in August, the environment was killer. And then to go back in December and January, absolutely insane. So I can only imagine, like, by the end of the year what it was like. Right. But I do when I'm in England, I do kind of like to try and get out and maybe see some championship or like League One matches. All about the Premier League always, because, you know, there's so many teams, number one, so many teams with crazy histories of, like, fallen from grace and all these things, and they have these crazy stadiums that are such a part of the community. I went to Roots Hall for Southend, and that was insane. Like, one of the most, I don't know if this is the right word, like, authentic football experiences of my life. Just the seats having numbers hand painted on them. Like, that was so cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's when, like, our current manager used to play for Bristol Rovers, who is up in League One. So we've gotten a lot of fans that have come over, and start following the team from Bristol Rovers, and and for some reason they listen to us on a weekly basis, even though we're pretty terrible. And then we've gotten to, like, last year they went on a preseason tour, or actually this season they went on a preseason tour of England. They played, like, Notts County and Nottingham Forest and a couple of these other clubs. And it was like, you start hearing from some of these other people and following them along. And it's been kind of cool. And then some of them we've actually had, and especially now with Joe Cole here, we've had West Ham fans coming over, we've had Chelsea fans coming over, and so you're getting, like, this kind of weird mix where it's, you know, not only are more Americans getting into the game here, but more people overseas are becoming kind of aware and respecting the game being played here.
Oh, for sure. That's something I noticed when I go over to England. Some of my friends, like, asking more and more questions about MLS, or even when I'm not over there, getting WhatsApps or iMessages of, like, them taking pictures of their phone, like, look, I'm streaming, like, an NASL game, or I'm watching MLS. It's so interesting, the crossover, because I think it's normally seen, like, Americans turn to Europe for soccer, but then, especially, like, with all these players coming over from Europe, and people just kind of getting more into football globally and outside of Europe. It's really great.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to see that kind of like, I don't know, back and forth. It's like, I don't know, I'm thinking about my history classes. We're talking about Colombian exchange, and it's kind of like the reverse version of that.
Right.
Soccer ideals are going back and forth. The other thing I was going to mention, we've got the reason I brought up Shakhtar was there's a tournament that I guess it's been going on for a couple years now. It's called Florida Cup. And it's
I know about that tournament.
So we're hosting some of the games this year. Fort Lauderdale did it last year, but they're out. We're in. And we're going to have Wolfsburg and River Plate coming to our stadium. And they keep kind of hinting that, you know, they're going to add more teams and probably some eight teams. And we might be having Shakhtar.
So I do believe, because they were in Orlando last year.
Yeah, there's going to be some in Orlando and some in
Italy. I do believe I was supposed to go to that. And because I was like, I'm going to Florida. And I think I ended up, something happened where I ended up in like England or Portland. I ended up somewhere else. And I was kind of sad because I'm like, how weird would it be to see Shakhtar like under a bunch of palm trees? Like, that is the dream. Let's do it. But sadly, I could not attend.
Well, we'll keep track. I'll see if they announce them, if they're coming back. Because if there's any time to watch soccer in Florida, it's definitely in January. Like this time of year, it's a little hot. It's a little humid.
It's pretty hot,
but, we still have some fun. Well, I've been like completely hogging the whole thing. I've my co-host Dan is out there. Dan, you got any questions?
No, I think we're good. Hello, by the way, I am here.
So when's the big move? When do you like actually leave?
So today's Tuesday. I will be at the airport in 48 hours on Thursday. yeah. So, like, yesterday I had to go get an emergency passport made because my other one's going to expire really soon. This is all, like, I mean, I didn't know a couple months ago that I was going to be in Venice. So I'm very excited. It's going to be a crazy adventure. We have our first game on Saturday. So I will be in Venice Friday getting ready for the first match on Saturday. And I'm really excited.
Very cool. I just thought of one more thing. I was going to mention this when you're talking about the people with your orange juice container. I was cracking up. This was a couple years ago. Dan probably remembers this. At the beginning of the season in NASL, the Cosmos were coming down to play Atlanta. And I think this might have been the year that Instagram added like video. Clips. And Atlanta's like posting videos of themselves in training. And New York comes down and New York beats them. New York was a better team anyway, but the kind of story got out was that New York was scouting teams based on their social media posts. So when you talk about people paying attention to what's going on in the, you know, in the videos and the backgrounds and everything, and we're just as bad because we'll watch everything that the team puts out there, whether it's you know, pictures or video or something, and we're like, all right, do we know everybody in this picture? Is this a trialist? Is this a guy that they're going to sign? And you know, the like the road trip videos were like, all right, who went on the road this one? Because we heard this guy was injured. No, there he is getting off the bus. So it's interesting. You know, you provide this kind of like little bit of access, and sometimes, you know, you might unintentionally overshare a little bit, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. There are times where I can think of like when I was at Kick, where we would have to be careful because teams would send us stuff or like brands would send us stuff and it was under an embargo and people would snap from the office, or like we used to film a daily video in the office and we just had to make sure that nothing that was top secret was floating around. Always tricky because, you know, we're just out here trying to take selfies and whatever in the office.
You have to clear off the computer screens and everything.
Oh yeah. But no, my mom did come with me by accident to RFK on Sunday for my last MLS game definitely. I don't want to admit that it's my last MLS game of the year, but I went to Red Bulls at DC and my mom was taking a great, you know, photo of me outside of RFK, and somebody that works for the team that watches my Snapchats runs up and is like, is this your mom? Like, because my mom is in my Snapchats kind of frequently.
A couple times, right? I've seen that.
But she's, you never see her. It's just her telling ridiculous stories and like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to meet your mom. They were like, screw saying bye to Sonia. Like, let's just talk to her mom. Like, that was a really cool moment. My mom, that was the moment that my mom realized like that people are actually watching the nonsense that I put on the internet.
Yeah, we have ways of like tracking our stats for how many people listen to the show and stuff. And we started doing like a little like, you know, digital like game day magazine, and we can check stats on that. And so like we get a little bit of this feedback, but you know, we've got press passes. We get down on the field before games and talk to players afterwards. But it's funny because we'll be walking around out there like on the field, and like people, you know, I have the group that we know that we kind of hang out with in the supporters group. And then people will be like, "Hey, I love what you guys are doing." And we're like, "Oh my God, this is weird."
It is weird, right? That was awesome, but it's so weird because I'm a super firm believer in like making things for yourself. Cause even when I was out of school and just kind of like floating around, I would go through periods where I wasn't really being creative and I wasn't making anything. And this was all basically born out of trying to get myself back into like producing something. And when I first made an Instagram, I refused to follow anybody and I didn't tell anybody I had it. Like I didn't hook it to my Facebook, nothing. Mm-hmm. And like one of my friends found it like 3 months later, and then a couple more people found it. And I was like, well, I guess I have to share it with people. You know, I was just making things purely as a documentation for myself. And so now when people like want to get into this, I'm like, just make stuff that makes you happy and like put it out there. And if other people like it, then great. You know, just it's still very strange to me. Like when people will screenshot my Snapchats and then like tweet them at me, like, saying they really like this or that this looks good, or like I'll never get used to it.
Yeah, that's it's kind of crazy. I've posted some stuff out there, and I'll start getting, you know, feedback. Like the night that Dave from Empire Soccer called in, like we know who he is. We like tweeted back and forth with him before, but we never like talked to the guy. But it's like,
right.
And he just randomly calls in. He's like, I just want to tell you guys are doing an awesome job. And I'm like, that's insane, like.
No, that's awesome.
I mean, that's kind of the whole way we got started. We were, you know, we'd sit around and have a couple beers during the game or after the game and talk about, you know, what went wrong this time or what was good. And then, you know, Dan keeps saying it's my fault. And like, we decided we were arrogant enough that, you know, we could do something like this and people might actually listen. And for weird reasons, they are. We're still not sure why. But and like, we started doing this, we like a week or two before we started recording, we were... Because we used to do just record it and edit it. And now we do. This is all goes out live right now on two different locations. We've picked up like an internet radio station, and then this thing called Rabble Sports is we've been working with them for a while. And it's just like, I don't know. It's like we just wanted to have a hobby, and now I'm sitting in front of, I got three computer monitors on my desk with Twitter on one and all this stuff on another. It's, I don't know. It's crazy, but it's kind of fun. Well,
it's awesome.
I don't want to keep you because you said you got to get on the plane in 48 hours. You've probably got some more stuff left to pack.
I am going out. This will be a big surprise for you guys. I'm going out to get tacos. It is Tuesday after all, but because I'm pretty sure that tacos don't really exist in Venice, I've been eating them for a meal once a day for the last week.
You're gonna have to like take some and freeze them and take.
Oh gosh, I don't
taco.
I know I'm gonna have a lot of other food, right? But it's gonna be really hard. I will tell you guys. I'll tease now that maybe, you know, like, because I'm not gonna have a lot of friends in Italy. I don't know anybody. I know one person in Venice. Right now. I bought the URL firehouse.com, and I'm hoping to actually make it like some kind of functioning website in the near future. So,
very cool. Well, keep an eye on that. Let us know. Call in. I can't think of what the time difference is in my head over there, but
6 hours.
Ooh. So I was gonna say, feel free to call in any time, but you'd have to really be up in the middle of the night to do that.
I'm kind of worried that I'm going to like go over there and I'm just going to be trying to like live in America still.
Right.
Like, let's watch games. Let's do this stuff. And then we'll see what happens.
Right. It'll take you a little while, but I'm sure you'll do a great job, and you'll probably, we'll see you popping up on social media. Like, I've even seen you, like, you've popped up in my Facebook feed before, like my personal.
Oh, goodness.
You were at Nashville, I think, for a U.S. game, and you're hanging out with Nashville. And a friend of mine, he's the president of AO Nashville, because I'm involved with AO Sarasota, like, tags a picture. And I was like, I've seen that name before. So I don't think you have a chance of getting away from everything.
Yeah, and you know, the only reason I was with any of those people is because it was my Women's World Cup final was on my birthday, and I was in Nashville. I put out a tweet saying, hey, I'm in Nashville, where should I watch the game? And they hooked me up. They said, come here. And I did, and it was the best. They took me out for burgers after. Like, so much fun. A great use of social media right there.
Oh, yeah. That's we've put out stuff like that. You know, it's, whether it's what game is on right now, or what's something else to watch or something to do. Or we've done things on social media like, you know, kind of like pregame tailgate like things. Come meet us over here. We've got burgers and whatever. And people just kind of randomly show up and they're like, hey, I saw your tweet. So very cool. Well, it was awesome to get to talk to you. Stay in touch. Give us a call anytime if you're up at 2 a.m. Well, it'll be a Wednesday for you, I guess. But
yeah,
just let us know. And, we'll be watching, and come back for some tacos sometime.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, it was awesome talking to you. Let everyone know how they can find you. I'm sure most people listening to this at some point know how to find you already, but just in case they don't.
I am Sonya Karate on everything, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, SonyaKarate.
All right. Well, thanks again, and good luck.
Thank you. Have a great night, guys.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to remember all the questions. I didn't write any of them down or anything because I didn't know what time she was calling in, and then it was like right there, she pops up in the middle of the theme song. I'm like, all right, let me get it all straight in my head again.
I've been struggling to find an Italian club to support. And I think, you know, there's an American connection there. I think I might've found it.
Tony didn't convince you to go with what is he, Napoli?
No, that's Joey. That's
Tony is, who's Tony again? I forget.
Exactly. I was just about to say Tony, his Italian team changes, I think, every other week. So,
whoever's playing Juve.
Well, no, I think he even bought a Juve jersey last year at some point. So it doesn't matter, but I'll find a way to. So anyway, enough Italian soccer. We talked Liverpool last. We're just avoiding everything, but it was great. I wish her the best of luck. Actually, she's fun. Follow her on Snapchat. You get food. You get insight. It's cool. Twitter.
Yeah, she just does some really cool stuff, and I can't imagine I was delving into it a little bit, but I can't imagine what it's like for girls, especially younger. I feel like I'm talking about teenagers now, but younger than you, let's say, being that active in something like I said, all over these different social media platforms. I just can't imagine some of I think probably Instagram is the worst, is where I see some really weird comments from time to time, not on hers, but on just people in general. It's gotta be rough out there, but hats off for doing it. She does an awesome job. So that was, that was kind of cool. We've always kind of joked around, like getting her on the show, coming to a game or something. And then it all just kind of worked out tonight. Does this mean we have to talk about the Rowdies now? You know, Liverpool today 5-0.
Yeah, I saw that. That was good. I didn't even know there was a game today, but I'm glad that they did some smashing.
And Bristol Rovers, our friends over there at Bristol Rovers, they went and played Chelsea in Chelsea, and it wasn't the result they wanted, but it was 3-2. It was pretty close, pretty good game.
That is a great result for them, actually. I was following that along on Twitter. So, because, that whole work thing sucks. Oh, God, it's... Mike falling time. Hold on.
We're not even at the end yet.
I know. I went to move it and it started to wobble, so I want to prevent this from happening.
All right. Well, now I can call up the show notes, and now we can get into. We've done the fun stuff. So if you don't want to be depressed, then I guess tune out now or click craft forward or whatever. Last Saturday, Rowdy 0, Edmonton 1.
another game we probably should have won. And then, I mean, Van Okkel, 9 saves. Like, you know, we briefly talked about the other day. We had one keeper that had double-digit saves against us. Now you got a guy with 9 saves against us. Obviously, creating chances isn't the problem. And Carlos up top is was, you know, taking the shots, and there were shots. I mean, Heinemann had a chance, but right over the bar. Joe Cole's back. There was chances created. So this, I'll just jump into the good then. Those are the chances created. And just, we couldn't break that down. And that's not, it's frustrating, yes. But again, it's not game, to me, it's not game plan. It's not the lineup. Because you can't say, like, again, we don't look bad. These guys keep fighting. They keep playing. There's character to this team that I appreciate. There's just that shot. We can't hit a bull in the ass with a handful of rice right now.
Yeah, I'm generally not a fan of when the coaches or the players for any team say, you know, the better team didn't win tonight, or, you know, we should have won, or we deserve better. Like, you deserve what you get, because that's the way it works. But this is an incident. This was definitely a case. If there's one time where I'm going to say, you know, yeah, maybe. We looked great. Edmonton and their coach says this in the, I don't remember if it was halftime or post game. We were watching it on TV in the press box. But that, you know, that their plan is to kind of lull teams to sleep when they're on the road and then hit them on the counterattack. And that's not exactly how it happened, but they, my good would be, and I said this early on, because the last week you talked about how well organized Edmonton is as far as defensively. They don't concede a lot of goals. They don't concede a lot of chances. The fact that we were hitting them hard and often early in the first half was really impressive to me, especially there was a kind of like a freak thunderstorm around 3 o'clock, and it poured. And that half of the field, like on the Mahaffey end, was a swamp. And this is in no way a reflection of the grounds crew, because they do an awesome job. There was just nothing you could do with that much time to get it in good shape. But I mean, we were seeing, it was like watching games before they fixed the surface at Al Lang, or watching games at Steinbrenner, where the ball would just die, or you'd overhit it and it would, you know, it was weird. You almost couldn't play it on the ground because there was so much water there, but we still managed to create several really good quality chances. Van Okkel had a hell of a game, ends up getting player of the week. Yeah. 9 saves. And, you know, there's been some talk about it. Well, you know, a lot of the shots were right to him. That also kind of speaks to his ability to put himself in the right place to sniff out where the shots and where the chances are going to come from. So, well,
yeah, I was just about to say, there's more to goalkeeping than diving. You want to be in position so you're not flopping all over the place.
Yeah.
So reading the game is something he's good at, and it showed. I mean, yeah, you would rather see that net behind him is rather large, but it's not easy when you have defenders bearing down on you to get a shot off and, you know, choose your spot. You're just throwing it at the net.
Yeah. There was a series of we got some chat, some comments here in Rebel so far. There were several events that kind of contributed, and I'm sure part of it is at this point, you know, this is the third straight loss, so I'm sure part of it at this point has to factor in, you know, the kind of frustration, the kind of I don't know, tension to reverse that. But at the same time, you also had one of the best teams in the league with one of the best keepers who has kind of been overlooked outside of his own fans and his own media. I think this week was the first time he's been player of the week or team of the week at all over the season. And he's been, you know, probably the best overall goalkeeper, stats wise. And then you had the, you know, the stuff with the rain on the field, and it, you know, it kind of worked out in the first half. I thought, you know, I thought our way to win this game, because I thought that, you know, possibly the heat and humidity would play a role and have an impact on Edmonton. So I thought our chance was to try and keep it, you know, level or close throughout the first half. And then the second half, when hopefully they're tiring out a little bit, and plus in the second half they were attacking the swamp end, so that's going to wear your legs down a little bit. I thought that would be our chance to try and hit them, maybe either with some subs or change up the tactics a little bit, see what happens. But the penalty changes everything. And also, you know, we had our first choice center backs back finally, Tam and Neil Collins back there. Well, Collins goes out like what, 15, 20 minutes in. I haven't seen any updates about how he's doing, but he did walk off the field under his own power. So it may have been more, you know, extra cautionary with him just coming back from a knock. So I don't know. But Steph came in, and I thought Steph did a good job. Added some height, which was good because he was, you know, probably almost twice as tall as some of the Edmonton players. But, you know, the penalty, I thought, and again, I'm going to be biased, and this isn't one of those ones where I decided to hop on Twitter and, like, berate Pro for a long time, because this is kind of an iffy one. Watching the replay of it in the press box, I don't think I call that one. The action's going away from the goal. No one has clear control of the ball at the time, and it's not like Darnell just kind of, you know, bundles him over. It's kind of incidental and turns into something bigger than it really was. But what did kind of upset me was later on in the game, Preciado in the other box has a very similar situation, and it's not whistled at all. Now, I don't think that was a foul either, but if you're going to call the one, call the other, I would say.
Right. It's that's the main thing that we've said, or at least I've tried to stress, is I don't care if the calls are bad, as long as the calls are consistent. So that's a problem. I don't think that penalty was a penalty either. I mean, yes, contact in the box, but like you said, it was going away from the ball was rolling out of the box, not controlled by anybody. And it, from what I could tell, like, Darnell lost footing, because I don't think Darnell King is going to, like, Superman onto somebody's back. And it just, maybe a yellow card after, you know what I mean? Just
right.
Some, if you're talking, I don't know, but it shouldn't. I mean, if you're going to call one, you got to call the other. Consistency is all I asked for. And that's the one thing we're not getting.
Yeah, but again, at the same time, you know, we had so many chances. You just, you know, like I talked to Stu after the game, I said, you know, you almost feel like you're, and I know the Edmonton podcast guys mentioned it. They said, and I'll take their word for it. And I guess Lee Godfrey may have mentioned it on the broadcast, but ever since the mixtape comes out, it feels like there's been a penalty against us every game. So
it sure as hell feels like it.
Do you almost have to just, you know, get in the mindset there? We've got to score two because something's going to happen.
I mean, they've been so iffy. Like, I can see these penalties being called, but I feel like that there's, you know, things that wouldn't have been called otherwise. But then again, what, that was penalty number 9 called against us off the top of my head?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. 8 or 9 or 9 or 10.
So,
I don't know. A lot.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not like it just happened, but in the fall, right? It's been that Carolina game was fall, right?
With the two against the two really bad ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's what, 6 in the fall that I can think of off the top of my head.
One referee in particular.
Yeah, 2 against the Cosmos, 2 against the Railhawks. That one, the one against Fort Lauderdale. So that's what, that's 6 I just named, right?
Yeah.
And how many games have we played in the fall?
10.
That's, you know, just it's a bit absurd. Like, but we're a physical team. But I don't think, I think this might be getting a little out of hand, because there's been some terrible handball calls as well.
I did notice, I was going to joke about this before the game, but I figured, you know, it's probably something he does all the time. I noticed that when the players walked out, Stu made a point to go over, shake all the refs' hands, smile, you know, say something nice to him. I'm sure he does it every game. This is just the first time I've noticed it. And I was like, yeah, you know, what couldn't hurt, could it? Give it a try. After the game, you know, he's been, there's been times where he has, you know, given his opinion of the officiating with or without prompting. We kind of, you know, I asked a kind of question in that direction and he said, it's not a discipline problem. Actually, I think, Colin O'Hara from Creative Loafing might've asked this one. He said, it's not a discipline problem. It's not a problem with the players being undisciplined. Didn't say what it was, but he said, it's not a discipline problem.
Well, early on, this season, in the spring season, we were accumulating yellow cards at a crazy rate, and we asked Stu about, you know, what he felt, and he said he didn't want to change it. He wants his team to fight, and he wants his team to be physical, and which is good. I think that's the kind of league this is anyway, and this team has some flair and has some fight, and it's not really, like I said, that Darnell King one, I don't care how physical the team is. I don't think Darnell King is going to just leave his feet and like a WWE swan dive into the back of a player.
Right.
Like that was, you know, he tripped over something or like lost his footing and fell running away from goal. Like there was no, and that's the other thing, like there was no need to foul him there. And I think Darnell is a smart enough player not to, you know, go hack somebody that's running away from goal and doesn't even have the ball.
Real quick, I want to hop in. Pendleton in the Rabble TV chat room. Not listening right now. Listen to the podcast later. Hope you are solving our problems. Look, if we're the ones you're turning to get any problem solved, you got bigger problems than whatever your problem really is. Because I sure as hell don't have an answer. Tough because regardless of results, I really like the personalities on this team, and I'll take this style of play all day over last year. And that was kind of my rant last week after the two losses. Now I always want the team to win regardless of who the players, who the owner, who the coach, whatever is, because it's the team I support. I want the team to win. But having gotten to know, Stu over the last couple seasons and the players that we have and the guys we've brought in, I want this team to win because I want this group to be successful, and not just the playing staff, but you know, the people we've gotten to know, like in the merchandise store, the grounds crew, you know, some of the guys from the front office, like these guys live and die with it too. And I want, you know, I want it for them as well. And I also want it for us, mostly because we've had three losses and we're 7 points out of fourth. And it's starting to feel like things might be slipping away if we don't turn it around. And, you know, I was reading that article that they put up on the website today on the Rowdy site, the interview with PC about his first couple weeks with the team. And he's like, look, we've been playing well. But for some reason, the results and the goals haven't been coming. He's like, we owe it to the fans. And, I don't ever want to be the guy who was like, you know, you owe me this, even though I'm a season ticket holder and I'm, you know, showing up for games and all that stuff. Like I'm never going to be the guy that plays that card. But when you look at what the fans have done this year, you know, we've had several packed games, you know, even one of them is, yeah, you want to throw in the Flo Rida concert, but there was still a large crowd there. You know, for the game as well. We've had, we're one of the only teams in the league with an actual increase on average attendance over last year.
Which is crazy on its own, since it was like 25, like nearly 25% increase from the year before. And yeah, we're still building on that.
We're like at a 5%, you know, update right now. Look at like the just how the Mob has upped their TIFO game, let alone.
Yeah, can we just talk about that like for a second? They have these 200 game for Georgie and Keith, has their TIFO has been on point, and yeah, they've set the bar extremely high. So I don't know if there was time between that and this OKC one, but they can't do any of the little cheap stuff anymore. The pressure's on them to keep doing their thing and impressing, and they are probably the number one TIFO group in NASL.
I would say so. And of course we're always biased, you know, in our own direction, but, I mean, I don't see anything better at this point in time. Now here's another question. And randomly I saw someone talking about this on Twitter too, but I was thinking about it the other day. Where do TIFOs go to die? Like, what do you do when you're done with them?
I think they have them for, you know, whatever use later or something like that.
Like the pro ones and stuff have shown up a couple times, or you know, have them for you know, whatever it is. It's a weird idea. I don't know if this is the right thing to do. It's just something that popped in my head. You've got that big giant overhang, and wouldn't it be kind of cool, especially with some of these bigger ones, to kind of, you know, either, you know, for maybe a month or the rest of the season or whatever, find a way to kind of hang them up there so that everyone can see them, you know, see what they've done and kind of.
I think they wanted to, you know, the smaller ones, put them around the stadium if they can. But, I mean, that's a Mob thing. I'm not too sure there. But they are definitely doing a lot of good this year, like more so than before, but they definitely have upped their TIFO game, and it's been fun.
Yeah. We're still kind of in good, bad, ugly, aren't we? And it's already, we're already 8:25.
Yeah, we could probably skip the, you know, the last block there before the outro. I mean,
yeah, a little bit. So we good. I can't take anything away from the style that we played. And you know, we go 1-0 down. We make some attacking changes. Stu even goes to a three defender back when he pulls off Tam. So you've got Steph and the fullbacks back there, and we know our fullbacks like to attack anyway. So yeah, it you know, when you talk about, you know, enjoying the style of play, like Stu is the guy who's going to go after it, and sometimes it's going to work, and sometimes it doesn't. And we had some more chances there at the end. And
I will say, for the Stu, this I like the character of this team, and I do believe it. Like some people will criticize it and have. On social media, but I think we play good football. I really think we play entertaining football. I haven't left the game and said that was boring. I don't think there's been a very boring game this year.
No.
I do. The only criticism I might make is I don't know if Stewart has a plan B yet. I feel like that has been the way it has seemed to me most of the years. If we fall behind, there's not much of a plan B.
Right. Yeah.
And that will be my only critique, because otherwise I like the way we play. I mean, the other critiques would be the fact that we can't finish, but that's not necessarily Stewart's fault. So my critique there would be for bad, I guess, would be the fact that we don't have a plan B late in those games.
Right. Now, did you see he kind of tweaked the tactics, went back to the 4-2-3-1 on Saturday?
It's all the same thing, really. I think it all just plays the same, the way he sets it up and how fluid it is going forward.
Right. And part of it may be, you know, now that you've added Preciado up top and we're kind of, you know, liking what we see from him, if it's, you know, trying to build more towards him. Man, I tell you, Joe Cole, and it's, like I said, I don't know a lot about tactics, but when I'm watching I keep seeing these, and I see them in the highlight videos, and I see them in the other tapes, the videos that have come out. If you give Joe Cole the ball on the left side of the field, there is going to be a cross that's going to be possibly lethal for the other team. And he almost did it, you know, 5 minutes into the game this time. He almost had one in, but he's – because he put that one onto Savage's boot for the goal in his – his 100th game or 101st game, I guess. He is making a killing in that area of the field, setting up his teammates. And the NASL
way to do people's the other team's film work for it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, Joe Cole, one of the best things to come out of watching the Rowdies has been able to see Joe Cole week in and week out. It is an artist doing amazing things.
Better than expected, right?
I think.
Now, I'm gonna say I thought he would do a good job. I expected some good things. I didn't think he was coming here to do the retirement tour, victory lap kind of thing. But I'm impressed by the level that he's been performing at.
You know, I mean, we came into the Premier League about the same time, or at the same time, which was his first, you know, season at Liverpool, and he never got a chance. And granted, that's, you know, leaps and light years ahead of NASL, but we never really got to see Joe Cole do Joe Cole things.
Right.
And then, you know, he dropped off down to where, wherever he was, I forgot already. But then seeing him come here and compete and do the things he does, you know, the brilliance, the backheel like attempt, the bicycle kick, just, and then how accurate he is on his crosses and everything. It's like an honor to be able to watch,
when he hit that bicycle kick, just, it took like maybe, 'cause I'm sitting with Jake for that one, and it took maybe 30, 45 seconds before it hit me what just happened that I actually saw unfold in front of my eyes. Like,
I'm still pissed it happened at the Mahaffey end, not down like our end. All the good stuff always happens at the Mahaffey end.
Right.
But I mean,
the mob end would have exploded.
Oh, it did anyway. But like, I couldn't imagine if we got to see that like right where we were. But it's just, if anything, at the end of this season, whatever obituary we're writing for 2016 rowdy season, we can sit here and say we watched Joe Cole just be Joe Cole and look like he's enjoying it. And I mean, he may be pissed off at the end of some games, but just he's enjoying it. And it's I never would have thought I would have been this much of a Joe Cole fanboy, but honestly, I don't think I haven't seen anybody better in this league, and being able to see it day in and day, or like week in and week out, is
right.
I'm incredibly lucky.
Well, and that was another thing. People, you know, one of the questions was, you know, how committed is he going to be? Like at the end of this game, he is the first guy off the pitch, shirts off in his hand. He looks like he's just in a rage, and it's, you know, hasn't said anything, whether, you know, didn't hear any comments or any, you know, whispers about any, you know, if it's any kind of, you know, whatever chemistry with the team. But I honestly think he's just pissed at losing three straight games.
Oh yeah. The man is, you can tell he's a fierce competitor, and he wants to be bringing a championship here to St. Petersburg. And it's funny because, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if you guys talked to him after the game. I'm sure he was just like, you know, soft-spoken Joe Cole. I mean, you could tell there was a little fire there, but soft-spoken Joe Cole.
Yeah, I mean, the only guys we talked to Stu and we talked to Georgie, and that was pretty much it. It was a weird night. Press box shenanigans aside,
we're just about out of time.
Yeah, well, we've got a few more minutes. We just kind of did the hour thing because people, no one wants to listen to like a 90-minute podcast. But
well, I mean, I didn't know about Radio St. Pete, and I don't know what their schedule was like.
Nah, they're good. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything else on Tuesday night.
Oh, well then.
But we'll run through the other stuff real quick and kind of wrap it up.
Yep.
Because really, the highlight of the show was always going to be Sonya calling in.
Yep.
All right. So, man of the match.
Ooh. Can I just go with Matt Van Hockel?
Yeah, I mean,
Van Hockel's the only thing I got.
Yeah,
maybe Preciado.
Good. Cole looked good. You know, we had guys that performed well. It's just not well enough, and that's what's driving people nuts. Yep. I'm really glad that we do the show on Tuesdays now rather than Mondays. I would hate to be like yesterday. I was still mad. All right. So other results around the league, since we went on last Thursday, I'm just going to cover the weekend stuff. Jacksonville, Minnesota drew 0-0 in a 4 PM, another 4 PM game in Jacksonville because, they wanted to schedule it so people could go to the Bucks Jaguars preseason game also, since their stadiums are right by each other. So, you know, neither team really wanted to be in that game at that point with the heat. Fort Lauderdale moves to the cricket grounds, opens it. If you're going to have a team come open your stadium this year, Ottawa is as good a choice of any. Fort Lauderdale wins 3-1 over Ottawa. Had a crowd of like over 2,000 too. So, you know, good for them. Hopefully they can keep that going.
I doubt it.
It's just, you know, it's a nicer situation over there. It's probably a more comfortable thing than going to Lockhart. So we'll see. Carolina knocks off, Indy 3-2 in Carolina. That's a nice little win for the RailHawks. Puerto Rico FC hosts the Cosmos. Puerto Rico, I believe, jumped out to an early lead, and then the Cosmos fought back with two goals and won the game.
How many were penalties?
I didn't want to say it. And OKC, our opponent this weekend, hosted Miami and lost. Miami FC with the winner, 2-1 there. So looking at the fall table, we are down to 11th. 11th out of 12. We have 8 points from.
If I don't laugh, I'll cry.
No, we're in 11th. We've played 10 games. We have 8 points. We're 1 point ahead of Puerto Rico. 1 point behind Ottawa. So I'm sitting here cracking jokes about Ottawa. We're behind them in the table. 2 points behind Jacksonville. 3 points behind Fort Lauderdale. It is officially stop looking at the fall table season time. Fall season table time. Something like that. The fall table really doesn't mean crap right now. The combined table, we were sixth coming out of last week. We're still, you know, kind of within shouting distance when we played Minnesota on Wednesday, and then that all went to crap. We're now down in eighth. We're 3 points ahead of Miami. We're 1 point behind Saturday's opponent, Oklahoma City. 2 points behind Carolina and Fort Lauderdale, and a whopping 7 points out of fourth place. I know there's still some optimism out there, and I'm always the eternal optimist about whether or not we're going to make the playoffs, whether or not we're going to get there. If we're going to, you have to start turning it around now, Saturday.
There is no more grace period. If we want to do this, it has to start against OKC, and we can't afford to lose any more games. We can maybe afford a draw here or there, but it has to start. We have to go on a tear, and we have to do what this team is this team has to do what it's capable of, and step up to the plate and dominate these teams. Because I know we said beforehand the games were against everybody ahead of us. Well, now everybody's ahead of us, so we had to step up.
Yeah. All right. So news around the league. One of the worst kept secrets in American soccer finally was put out there last week. Minnesota United. Well, I guess this is the kind of the surprising part. They get to keep their name. Did I tell you I found out what the entire deal behind that is?
No.
They get to keep their name, but they have to pay Arthur Blank to let them use Home Depot as a sponsor on their shirt.
Is that true?
I'm just making that up.
I was going to say, because like, that wouldn't shock me.
No, it really wouldn't. So Minnesota is going to MLS next year. So we've got one more game this season against Minnesota United, and then we don't have to see them unless it's Open Cup. So congratulations to them. They're going to play in the new football stadium being built there temporarily until the state decides to get off their butt and let them build their stadium. So who knows? It could be 2 or 3 years maybe before they move into their permanent home. That's really the only news of the week. We talked about San Francisco signing Dos Santos. So this week we've got Oklahoma City coming up. They've been in the news lately, usually not for the good reasons off the field. On the field, they've been kind of putting it together. They were a little bit, and then they've only gotten 2 points from their last four games, which might be more than us. I know we lost three in a row, we've got 3 points out of our last four games, so I guess we're
better. The way our team is going, we are the one that everybody comes out of their tailspin against. But I think OKC is vulnerable. I mean, yeah, I don't know anymore. This is where I throw out all of any thought process and say, just flip and win.
So Oklahoma City's parent club, Rayo Vallecano de Madrid in Spain, they were in La Liga. They were relegated. And people speculated for a while that the financial commitment to the franchise in Oklahoma could be scaled back. Representatives from the club showed up. They let go I guess they proposed their new vision, which caused Marcina to leave. So you're deprived of Marcina coming to St. Pete this year. You poor soul, Dan.
Shucks.
The management team, the company overseeing the front office, walked out as well. They installed a new coach. They have a new GM. I saw something over the weekend. I didn't get to look too much into it, but about the GM getting in a fight with Miami, either fans or Miami front office people after the game.
I hope so. I mean, really what they need to do is, now that they're saving all of that money, is buy their social media person an actual laptop so they can make graphics.
Photoshop, so they don't have to use Microsoft Paint.
Yeah, like spring for a MacBook or, you know, Photoshop or something. Help them.
Yeah. So in their last five matches, they are win, draw, draw, loss, loss. So, you know, we talked about maybe all these changes, this kind of turmoil off field might start to have an impact on the field. It seems like it's trending that way. But again, teams have a habit of getting better against us, and I don't like it.
It's incredibly frustrating because, again, we play well but can't seem to finish these teams off. I mean, Minnesota is where I think the only game where we really deserved to lose, per se. I don't know. I legitimately don't know anymore. And I can't imagine how it feels to be in the pressure cooker trying to figure it out.
Do we even want to make predictions, or we just want to not jinx it that way?
Nope. I'm not doing any more predictions.
All right. So two more things I want to bring up. One I just saw pop up on Twitter, and one I was going to mention. One I had this as kind of like a backup in case something happened and Sonia wasn't able to call in. I was going to have something for us to discuss, but I think we can do it pretty quickly before we sign off for the night. Number one, this is the one I just saw like a minute ago. Have you seen this thing going on? There, supposedly the Silverbacks were going to let the fans buy into the reserve team, and they're going to let them buy like a 49% stake, and you know, seems like another
In a reserve team though, like isn't that already like subsidized by the club?
I would guess, but now they want the fans to buy into it. Well, it just Atlanta Silverbacks Trust, who was the group that was trying to buy Silverbacks and keep them in NASL, just posted. The club has rescinded the fan ownership offer, and the reserves won't be playing in whatever the reserve league they were talking about. So I don't know if it was lack of interest or lack of funds or
probably
what.
Both. I mean,
or is it, you know, are there some kind of legal matters going on there? So, you know, with fans getting involved, there's something they didn't realize until the last minute or something. So that looks like it's on the rocks. So, you know, that's another one of the pet projects of a lot of people on soccer Twitter is increasing fan ownership, which I think is a good idea. Have fans involved more. But I don't know. I know some fans who I definitely wouldn't want to have involved with the club, which brings me to the next point. So, you know, Saturday, our other team we follow, had a bad weekend. Liverpool lost 2-0 to Burnley, recently promoted Burnley. Now you guys weren't able to watch the game because you were having cable problems, right?
It was like I was back in 1940 and got to listen to it on the radio. The audio worked, but
I didn't even
Frontier
watch
it. Sucks.
I had people over like repairing my fridge and my washing machine, which is always fun. I hate adulting on the weekends. So I noticed I saw this happen, and I don't understand this whole thing. This is one of the things I think I'm too old to get. One of the guys who scored for Burnley, his name is Andre Gray. He's their kind of their main striker. And the article popped up in here. I got it from The Guardian. Burnley striker charged by FA for tweets from 4 years ago. And he made some comments. Now, the way the newspaper describes it as it's misconduct charge issued by the Football Association relating to homophobic, sexist, and racist tweets from 2012. That appear to be anti-gay.
Did you see the tweets?
Yeah, I've seen them. There's no appearing to be anti-gay. When you're saying kill people because like that doesn't appear. That's it. And this is where it gets kind of weird. And I wanted to ask you about this. I'm in no way like anti-gay, ethnic group, religious groups, whatever. I think you can vouch for me on this one. And I don't want to do the I've got several blank friends. But I do. I grew up in South Florida. I go to a lot of things in St. Pete. Live in Sarasota. I mean, if there's three kind of multicultural, multi-lifestyle kind of areas, I'm in them. I'm good with it. So I think the content of the tweets themselves are disgusting. And he's saying now, he's a different person than the one who posted the messages 4 years ago. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe he just knows enough better now than to say it in a public forum where he's got wider eyes on him. But I'm kind of iffy on the whole thing. Like you did this 4 years ago and now because people went back and it was primarily Liverpool fans because they're popping up in my feed, finding these tweets, digging them up. Like maybe they researched them the day before or something in case the guy scores and put them out there. Like, I'm kind of iffy on the thing. Like, it's been 4 years. You didn't do anything about it then. It wasn't a big deal to you then, but now all of a sudden it's a big deal.
Well, yeah. Okay. If you felt that way, that you've had this massive change of heart from wishing death upon gay people, and then all of a sudden, no, I'm just kidding. I've changed my mind. Why wouldn't you delete that?
I can delete now. But even if you do that, like people had these things screenshotted just in case.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. I know the FA is not like a an actual legal body, and they can kind of operate on their own rules. I'm just 4 years. Like, if you let it slide to this point,
well, like, did you see?
Someone was looking at the FA as well. Why does it take you 4 years to decide this is a problem?
4 years ago, when those tweets were made, when that tweet was made, they didn't even actually have the rule that they're going to try him from.
Yeah. Well, and he was playing for a non-league club at the time too. So I mean that factors into it. It's just,
but I think, I was trying to think about the way, like, the stickler wise, you shouldn't be able to back charge somebody, but on the same time, those are so bad. Like, I think some action needs to happen, but like, does it really help? Like, does it really help? This isn't, I understand the concept behind rules like this of, you know, trying to be more tolerant, but it's just, it's not telling people to be, or teaching people to be more tolerant. It's teaching them to shut up.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
what is being accomplished other than, you're making a, well, and I go back, you know, we've watched, Damned United, like, you know, 2000 times probably. The scene where they haul in Clough and Bremner, and they're like, the FA has to be seen to be doing something.
Yeah.
You have to make this show of doing something. How about you actually do something? I don't know. Like I said, I get the idea behind it. You want to punish, you want to deter other people from doing it, but you're not, you know, if that's your mindset, you're not changing somebody's mind by fining them and suspending them.
Kick him out of the league. I mean, that's the main thing.
You're reminding him and reinforcing, be quiet. And is that, does the FA really care about anything other than be quiet about it?
No.
Maybe not. Do they generally care about, let's go out there and change people's hearts? I don't know that you can change people's hearts and minds when they're making comments like that.
Look at the celebration of Jamie Vardy, if you want to go to that.
Exactly.
An awful human being, but the Premier League celebrated him. And I'm not saying like fans of the Premier League, because there's plenty I saw all over my feed reminding me how terrible of a person Jamie Vardy was, or is. But the Premier League was celebrating Jamie Vardy and ignoring. I mean, we do it here. It's not just soccer. I mean, in any American sport, people get DUIs and kill people with a hit and run or something. And as long as they win a championship, it's all forgotten. And there's worse crimes than that slip under if they win something. It's just, it's nature of sport. And the only way you can change that is by removing those people from the sport and who not caring about their athletic ability and holding them accountable for the human being they are. Do I think the FA needs to do something? Yeah, because you shouldn't be put, even if, but do I think this is enough? No, I don't think it does anything besides be a little bit better, smarter with your social media, which is just ridiculous to me.
Yeah. And I'm still kind of on the sitting on the line of the fence where I'm like, you know, you can't make people accept something they don't want to accept. So like, I don't have, and again, this is, you know, I fully admit and agree that I have a certain level of privilege due to being a white heterosexual male in this society. I don't.
You're heterosexual?
I know. Let's not talk about last weekend. or next weekend.
and you're white?
Well, I'm tanned from being out in the sun at all these games because it's so freaking hot.
Believe it or not, I'm white too. So,
you have a hard time convincing people in Pasco of that sometimes.
Oh, dude, I even got told to go back to where I came from when I was in Portland, Oregon. And I was like, oh, you want me to go back to Florida?
Culture is just terrible. You're like, what, Long Island?
Yeah, I was really confused.
Is there a direct flight? Does Alaska Airlines do that? Like, I'm not even of the mind that everyone has to accept, you know, lifestyles that have become more common and more, at least open. And now I don't think, you know, there's a difference between saying, I'm still kind of not sold on this than saying, burn, die, make me sick. Like, you don't have to agree with the lifestyle, especially if you don't live it, but still you can, like, you know, not wish people to die, because we've seen what happens when people get inflamed with their opinions, especially through social media.
They tend to have tiny hands.
Why are we how did I get us into this topic?
I don't know, but we should wrap this up. It's 10 to 9.
Yeah, I got stuff I got to do for work tomorrow and everything. All right, thank you. Oh, I didn't even get to talk about the TM story. I wanted to talk about the TM story a little bit with the belly flop thing.
We need to figure out and do the belly flop thing, and then we can talk about it. We
can do a video. And it's vaguely in the show notes. I want to do something. Yeah, I want to do the belly flop, and part of it is to raise money and donate it, and then challenge others to do it. So we're gonna figure out a way to do this. First we got to find out a where. Perkins had a good idea, and I kind of thought of it too. If we can get the Hilton involved in this, maybe like after the game or something would be cool. He's got some strings he can pull over there. We need to get together. Yeah. But I have an idea how to raise more money than I think either of us are actually physically able to donate, at least right now. We'll talk about it in a little bit off the air, and then we'll hope maybe have it ready to go for Saturday. But yeah, pay attention to that. Tam's wife had a baby, almost a month ago that was born like 6 weeks premature, which is why I think he missed a game or two, and maybe why he's had, I don't want to say he's been distracted, but there's obviously been a lot on his mind. Baby's perfectly healthy, which is fantastic, which is awesome. And he's working with this charity that was, he discovered while they were at All Children's, and, we're going to try and do something with them as well too. And spread that out there. Cause I'd never heard of either of those, causes before. So, check the Rowdy's, Twitter from last night. They've got some info on it, but we're going to do it too. Thanks to you guys who tuned in and listened and commented and tweeted and retweeted and everything else. If you like what we do, we're kind of happy we're kind of happy with our core group of our Rowdies fans and the other NASL fans who give us a listen. But it's never a bad thing to have more eyes and ears out there on the things that we do. Look where it got Sonia. Who knows? Maybe even at my decrepit old age, someone would still find a use for me doing something.
Maybe.
I wouldn't count on it. I can definitely see where Sonya appeals to a wider demographic than I would. But yeah, if you like the show and you're whether you get it from iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or wherever, like if they give you a method, a process to do ratings and reviews, feel free to do that. And we'd love the better the ratings, the more we like it, and it helps put our stuff in front of the eyes of more people. And we've seen people mention us, whether it was Jason Davis from Soccer Morning one time throwing our name out there to people, the Detroit guys saying, hey, give these guys a follow. It's kind of cool just, to have other people talking about you that you don't normally interact with either, at a game or socially on Twitter or something on a daily basis. We still do have some scarves and shirts left. We finally got rid of all the pre-orders, though.
I saw that.
I met up with Fox after the last game. He tweeted me when he was there. I didn't have the bag, but I happened to have one with me, not one that I've like worn around a bunch and have used it, but I had brought it in the car for my daughter's, for some game, but she's never brought it in. So it's just been sitting in my car. So I had one for him. I got it to him. So everything we've got now is spare. And that might be part of our belly flop thing. So pay attention for more information about that. Give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. Hell, we still have Tumblr out there somewhere. Unused Subs Pod on all of them. I just saw my daughter running behind me. She was trying to sneak up, I guess, and sit in and listen over here. Thanks to you guys who, like I said, have tweeted and interacted with us. We're going to try and get out an issue of The Bench this week. I know Jake's been really swamped still, and we don't, we're doing this voluntarily. So if there comes a case where we need like a mental health break from something, like I'm the first one to tell you guys to chill out and don't worry about it. I think you'll agree. Cause I want to keep doing stuff as long as possible, not burn out brightly and quickly or whatever. Thank you again to Sonia for coming on the show and talking with us. That was cool. That's I don't know, if we did like clip of the day, that'd be like that just whole interview. We just listen to this. For coming on. Good luck with her on her trip to Venice. Hope she can find some tacos. Thanks to our buddies out at Shamrock for always helping out with us. And to Wolfface for the music. Did I tell you the other thing I got on Saturday?
Mm-hmm. No.
So have you met my buddy Jim from Sarasota? Not Ian, not the big tall guy. Jim's kind of the shorter one. I think you probably met him.
Probably.
He's a Liverpool guy too. So he went to the game in St. Louis and tells me, he's like, oh, here, I got something for you. And his wife starts getting excited. I'm like, oh, God, I'm kind of worried. He hands me the envelope and he says, like, yeah, we were kind of wandering around St. Louis the day before the game. And this guy, grabbed me because he saw I was wearing a Liverpool jersey and said, hey, come here, you almost missed it. It's right here. He's like, what do you mean it's right here? It's like, oh, Robbie Fowler's like talking to fans and signing autographs. So I got an autographed picture of Robbie Fowler.
Nice.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I got to get it framed and put it up in my my newly renovated office studio thing here. All right, that's it. See you Saturday, right?
Yes, I will be there Saturday.
In a while. I have a new book for the book club, too.
I saw that.
Looks pretty cool. It's kind of like an anthology about the 1966 World Cup, like writings about the games and everything else on the side. And so Evan, the guy who does the Sacramento Republic beat, who I follow him to get my Jeremy Hall updates, was tweeting about it the other night. And I was like, oh, I'm going to give this a buy. It was like $10 on Amazon. So it's big, though. It's a giant book. But I'll get through it and lend it to you if you want. I think that's it.
Yeah.
The show was better than I thought it was, mostly because we had Sonya on. And hopefully we can do the same. Now, next week, we're going to be we're gonna kick off a little bit later. We're going to start around 8 o'clock because next week, next Tuesday, is the state primaries. And Radio St. Pete does some updates from that. And they start around 7. He wasn't sure they'd be done by 7:30. So I said, you know, just take, he's like, we'd be done before 8, but probably not 7:30. I said, take your time. We'll go on at 8 o'clock, or we'll go on shortly after him, probably 8 o'clock, because we're politics nerds too. So get that information out there. That's good. Go vote on Tuesday if you can. If you're in an area that needs to vote or has a vote, I don't think there's much I can do. I'm still in NPA. So, and that is it. We'll be on next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. Hopefully talking about a win over Oklahoma.
I might not be able to talk if it's not a win.
we'll be on air doing something. If it's really bad, we'll find more cool guests and just bring them in instead, because they have more entertaining stuff to talk about than we do after multiple losses. All right, that's been it. We are the Unused Substitute. This has been your Green and Gold Gospel Power Hour and a half. You didn't do the power hour thing. Wait, was that was for a win, right? Though
yes.
Okay, you got off lucky because we were at 90 minutes. You'd be dead.
I'll do it next week. I'll extend that offer. If we win, I will do a power hour.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening, or thanks for listening later. Appreciate it. We'll see you at Al Lang on Saturday, and we'll be back on air Tuesday evening around 8 o'clock. Come on, you rowdies.
Bye.